This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Careers Unusual with me, Jermaine B, where we speak to people with jobs that are off the beaten path. How do we master dating, flirting, and overall relationship management? Flirtologist Jean Smith says flirting is based on science and belief it can be fun and dating easy. She also teaches people on how to become fearless flirts and to be the happiest, confident, and secure version of themselves. Hi Jean, thank you for taking this call.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Okay, firstly, anthropology has been your specialty subject for more than a decade. How did your interest in flirting first begin?
Well, because I'm so interested in people and their behavior and watching their behavior, when we look at the subject of how people flirt, it becomes even more interesting.
Okay. So were you always good at flirting, or was it a skill that you acquired over time?
Well, that's an interesting question. yes, I think probably I was and maybe still am pretty good at flirting. But I wanted to dissect what makes someone a good flirt, because many people feel they're not good at it. So I wanted to dissect it and figure out if there are certain tools that people who are good at flirting use, and maybe we could use these tools to help people who aren't so good.
Okay, so most people find it very difficult to gather the courage to talk to a stranger. How does one overcome the anxiety?
Well, I think kind of going back to my last point, the thing is, it's not that we're born and then we're forever trapped in these categories that, well, I'm just not good at flirting, so I'm just never going to be good at it. Instead, I teach flirting as a skill. And if you think of it as a skill, it means that if you practice and know how to do it and have the tools and then use them often, you will become good at it.
Okay, so it's really about practice makes perfect, right?
Exactly. That's it.
Okay, yeah. So there is a very high possibility of getting rejected when you attempt to talk to a person, and most people just want to avoid that. How can one deal with such rejection?
Yeah, this is so true. Well, see, what happens is because people are so afraid of being rejected that they actually don't even do anything in the first place. It stops them from even trying. And this is a real problem, because if people would actually just do it, they'd realize, actually, the rejection that I had built up in my head is being so horrible. Even if I did get rejected, it's not such a big deal. So they stop themselves from actually trying the real life experience because they think it's going to be horrible. But they shouldn't, because it's actually much easier than they'd ever imagine. The reason rejection hurts so much and the problem with rejection is that people are looking at other people to make them feel good. So, for example, if I walk up to someone and say, like, oh, hi, what's your name? And they look at me like I'm a complete idiot. I wouldn't feel rejected because I don't really care what that person thinks. And this is the prime difference between why rejection bothers some people and it doesn't others. Do you see what I mean? If you're relying on outside people to define your self-worth, rejection is going to hurt.
That's very true, actually. In fact, we should always have an open mind that people, you know, one response may not be the same as another response.
Yes, exactly. And this is why I love using anthropology in this field, because using some of the tools that anthropologists use, one is sample size. And this means unless you have a large enough number of experiences, you can't really determine if something is true or not. So if you walk up to one person and you get a bad response, that doesn't mean anything. It could mean that person has a bad day. It could mean they didn't hear you. It could mean, you know, their dog just died. You have no idea, but you just think, oh, I'm rejected. If you do that 100 times to 100 different people, you have a completely more accurate and true portrayal of what would really happen. And I think you'd find that you have a lot of great experiences with that.
Wow. Thank you for sharing on that one. I'm sure a lot of people want to know how to deal with that.
No, my pleasure.
Okay. So based on your book, The Flirt Interpreter, share with us a little more about the six universal flirting signs.
Sure. Yeah. So I interviewed 250 people in the cities of London, New York, Paris, and Stockholm. And I wanted to find out if there were any universal flirting signs. And I found there were six things that everyone in these cultures said that they used to flirt, and also they could understand when someone was flirting with them. So I've created this acronym called HOT APE to help us remember what these six signs are. Would you like to hear them?
Oh, yes, please share with us.
Okay. So again, so to tell if someone's flirting with you and also to show that you're interested, H is for humor, you know, laughing, banter, having fun, okay? O is for open body language. This means that your arms are uncrossed, your shoulders are facing towards the person, your feet are pointing in their direction, and yeah, your body says, like, I'm open and approachable to talking, okay? T is for touch. When people are flirting, they have more of a tendency to touch. Now, I know not everyone's touchers, and a lot of this is a cultural differences. Would you say in your culture, touching is very common when you're flirting?
Not really, not here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So even just like a light tap on the shoulder, you know, something quite inconspicuous, that could be quite powerful and not very aggressive because it's just, you know, a light tap on the shoulder. Now, touching the hand is a lot more intimate, and it's a lot more kind of proactive when you're flirting. So that might be a bit too much for your culture. But even just like a little light tap on the elbow, something like that.
Right.
Okay, so that's the HOT. Now we have APE. This one might seem obvious, but A is for attention. It's how much attention is this person paying you, especially compared to other people that they're with. P is for proximity. Now this is used in two ways. One, if someone is across the room, especially if they made eye contact with you, if all of a sudden they're like near you, this is not a coincidence. They have moved their proximity to be nearer to you. And then that means if they're nearer to you, you can start a conversation with them. I mean, much more easily than if they're across the room, right?
Right.
Yeah. But the other way proximity is used is when people are flirting, they stand closer to you than usual.
Right.
So if you just kind of can be aware of, well, as one of the London women said, they're in your personal space. You either mind or you don't, depending on if you like them. So
yeah, that's true.
So they stand, yeah, exactly. And then the last one is the most popular. It's eye contact.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone said that this one was huge. So, but the thing is, when people are flirting, they use eye contact more often. They also look at you for a longer period of time. And the look is more intense. There's more behind the eyes than if you're just like asking directions or something. Mm-hmm. So that's HOT APE.
Wow, that's actually very easy to remember with this HOT APE.
Good. So I've done a TEDx talk on HOT APE. So if your listeners want to learn more about it, they just have to Google, you know, Gene Smith HOT APE, and they can learn more.
Wow. So in your opinion, is flirting something that can be appropriate in a non-romantic setting? A lot of times people think flirting is more for romance. But, you know, if mm-hmm. it's a non-romantic setting, you know, what would you mm-hmm. say about flirting?
Yeah, I think this is an important point because the problem is everyone has a different definition of this exact same word, flirting. And one of the first questions I asked people in my interviews was, what is flirting? And often people of similar cultures had a similar idea, but sometimes everyone just had a different idea. So the way that I teach flirting is just about making people feel good and building rapport and just a more fun way of communicating.
Right. So it actually can mean that it's not only about romance. It's really about building rapport yeah. and just that relationship.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, think about it. Do you want to stand in a queue and be totally bored? Or do you want to have a fun banter conversation with, like, the cute person in front of you? I mean, which one is more fun?
That's true.
It doesn't have to mean anything or lead to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. So in your flirtology courses, generally, what area do people have most troubles with? And how would you advise them?
People do not want to make fools of themselves. This is like one of the major things. They think anything they do, they don't want to look needy or desperate or anything like this. So again, why I love approaching this from a social scientific perspective is I actually have the research where I can just in an objective way say, look, this is what you need to do. You need to do step 1, 2, 3, 4, go here, say that, done. And I think this reassures people as well, because most of my clients in their daily lives, you know, they're successful at business and they're happy people and they're usually confident. But when it comes to this area, they're just like, what do I do? I'm so confused. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They always say a person can be very confident with anything, but when, you know, meeting that person, that one person they like, then it's a totally different thing.
Yes, because you're vulnerable. I mean, this is part of meeting. If we're talking about flirting now for finding a relationship, you have to be vulnerable at the beginning because it's not in your control now.
That's
so,
true. Yeah, and you don't want to oversell yourself as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you mind telling us about some of your most remarkable success stories with clients in the past?
Yeah. Well, I find that the media and myself have different ideas about what a success story is. So the media likes the stories of like, yeah, a woman came on my Fearless Flirting Tours and then she tried the skills out at her local supermarket. Now she's married to the guy and they have a kid. So, you know, that's great. I'm happy for that. But what I really find as success stories is, for example, after going on my tour, a woman, she met a guy on the train on the way home because she was feeling more open and she was chatting, and they ended up going out for a couple months. And then they broke up, and she said she was fine. And in fact, her brother said, wow, you got over that so quickly. Usually you'd be hung up on him for another 6 months. And the fact that she just then moved on with her life, to me, that's really important.
Okay, so it's not only about entering it, but how do you exit it nicely? Is that right?
That's it. Yeah, okay. Exactly. It's exiting nicely, but it's also, she knew that she'd be fine because she's happy in herself. And right. That's the key to all of this.
Yeah, that's true.
With or without that guy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So could you tell us a bit more about Fearless Flirting Tour that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. One of the things I love about these Fearless Flirting Tours, which I'm actually running in Melbourne, Australia, next Thursday, March 3rd. So it's kind of exciting. I love doing it in new cities. But I love it because, as I said earlier, it gets you out of your mind. Like, for example, if you see someone that you think you might like, your mind starts saying all these reasons why you shouldn't do it, most of it based around rejection. But because of the tours, they're interactive. And so we kind of, as a group, we have to go out and do tasks that I assign everyone. And then you realize, gosh, that's actually quite easy. Or that wasn't what I expected to happen. That person was really nice. Or, oh my gosh, I just got someone's phone number, which also happens. So it makes you overcome your fear that you wouldn't necessarily do if you were just by yourself, at the supermarket.
Okay. And I understand you're coming to Malaysia very soon.
Yes, I'm very excited. Yes.
Okay.
Is Malaysia ready?
I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people would gain a lot from you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, so what was your biggest challenge with establishing a career as a flirtologist?
It's because no one has heard of it. I like doing things about 10 years before everyone kind of figured it out, which is always fun and interesting, but it takes a while for society to catch up sometimes to it. So I think now people are quite open to the idea of, you know, me teaching how to meet people in the real world and things like this, combining science with dating, but they weren't really before.
Okay, so lastly, Jean, share with us, you know, what are your plans for the near future with regards to your career as a flirting expert?
Well, you know, I've been in London for about 15 years now. I'm from the States, from America, and I've traveled to many countries for fun and leisure, but I've decided I'm going to start opening up. In fact, Malaysia is the second place I'm taking flirtology to on my world tour. So my main plan is, expanding to other cultures. I mean, I am a cultural anthropologist and just seeing how they react to flirtology.
Wow. Like, you know, how different countries reacting to this.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's nice. So before we end this, Jean, share with us on what are you going to do in Malaysia?
Okay, so I'm so excited. I'm taking flirtology to the Institute of Engineers in Kuala Lumpur, and I'm going to be giving a talk there, a half-day talk, on Saturday, March 5th.
Okay, wow. So, you know, whoever is out there and who would like to listen to Jean personally, make yourself there.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for enlightening us with your career as a flirting expert, Jean.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Okay, that was Jean Smith, a flirtologist, and you've been listening to Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.